Amen. Father, we thank you for this evening. And we thank you for everyone that's gathered in here. We together ask and we receive wisdom and insight into our conversation for tonight. In Jesus' name, as touching more, amen. Alright, so we're quickly moving into another conversation that's touching more. And it's our year for more. So that means we're going to be on the receiving end and the doing end. We're going to be on both ends. So it means we're going to be receiving more from the Lord. And as well, doing more in all that it is we're supposed to do. Yesterday we had conversations as touching how that we were going to have and to experience more, you know, in the work that we have. And I made us see how important it was to have everyone actively involved in the work, not passively involved, actively involved in the work. And we're going to move on to looking at more as touching dealing with distractions or things that come up our way to prevent what the Lord has said concerning us experiencing more of everything coming to pass. So we're going to look at some of the very crucial elements, or if I'd call it like the crucial element for preventing us from seeing the more that we declare that the year is. And they are distractions. So we're going to be having conversations around more and how that we can structure in ourselves to have more. Alright? I had to call someone a few days, I'm sure she's even listening to me, and I asked her a question, and I said, do you see yourself serving the Lord for as long as you can? Sort of like paraphrasing it, but it was a very direct question. And the response she gave was, you know, sort of like, I'm trusting the Lord to help me. So I think I asked the question, and then she responded with, I'm trusting the Lord to help me. And then I listened to a few other things that were said. And I remember the response I gave her. I said, there is nothing that God will do for man without man's participation. It could be either active or passive, but there has to be man's participation. Then I went on to giving her a couple of examples, and I said, that's how it is. Even when it comes to praying in the Holy Ghost, there is a helper who is the Holy Ghost. But he cannot pray for you, or he will not cause your lips to stutter against themselves to speak on your stead. So it means that you will have to do what you have to do, and he does what he has to do. Right? You speak in tongues, he gives the utterance. You stretch forth your hands to lay on the sick, he supplies the power that heals the sick. Even when it comes to seeing and knowing, you make your mind and spirit open to receive, and he pours out the revelation. At least, for there to be a saving from poisoning, there has to be poison that is drunk. He told us that in Mark 16, you will drink. If you drink any deadly poison, then there is a power that is supplied. So, in everything, there is man's activity involved. The moment man's activity is not involved, God breaches a rule. And of course, he doesn't breach rules. So Moses, you stretch forth the rod, and I by my power will part out the seas. Okay, you're standing before Pharaoh. You drop the rod. I said, drop the rod. Drop the rod. Then the rod turns into a serpent. Elijah standing before the Jordan River. Use that cloak. Hit it on the river. Then I'll part it. Moses, you build the ark. Then the rains are going to come. So, after I finished explaining all these, I told the person, it's good to rely on God's help. But you need to say, I will serve the Lord. Then he supplies the grace too. You know, many times we're good at, the Lord help. Right? There is first a will, then a reliance on his help. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, God responds to faith-filled confessions. He responds to it. When you say things like, I'll serve the Lord for the rest of my life, that's what you do in your faith-filled confession. Then he supplies the grace to be able to stay fit in that confession that has been said. So, in everything that we're doing, you don't leave to chance expecting God to show up miraculously. It does not work. There's a responsibility of the believer. Would you think that, don't be mistaken, if I ever told you that, maybe because God said I should serve him, that's why I'm serving him, and that's why things are going on. That's not entire truth. There's first a will that says, Lord, I want to serve you. Then he pours out the grace. But all in all, there is a decision to be made. So, why am I saying this with you? We're going to go into another Joshua scripture. I'm going to show you a typical example. of how that you can say, I choose to do more by overcoming distractions. Then he supplies the grace that's needed to be effective in what you have believed him for. So there's not a time where you just roll it over to God. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you have to walk through. If not, you'll stay there. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death, then he is with you. He is with you. It's not that he's left you, he's with you. But I'm walking, you have to walk now. Nobody likes to lie in the shadow of death. Say, Lord, I've laid in the shadow of death. If it is your will, save me. No, you need to get up and you need to walk through. Then he walks with you side on and side on. So let me tell you one thing. You need to start eliminating that mind of leaving it all to God. That's how people fall out into so many things. And they are not able to fulfill God's call concerning their life. They leave it to God. Say, whatever God will do, it will be fine with me. No. You make a decision. Are you listening? Samson made a decision. I'm one of the people that believe also that if Samson had cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, restore my sight, grant me the grace to take down these people and yet still live, the Lord didn't have a problem with it. But guess what he cried for? He said, Lord, give me my last strength. Now let me pull down these structures on these men. Let us all die. That's what he chose. So there's a choosing. Then God's grace comes to back whatever it is you have chosen to do. That's why when you choose to pray, you are not going to just get up and start praying. No. When you decide, then there's a grace. You see, when you decide, then you rely on his grace. But you don't decide and expect his grace to have its way in your life. No, when you make a decision, then you now rely on his grace while putting in the labor to make sure that that decision is brought to pass. And thank God we're not neglecting the gift of the Holy Spirit this year and beyond. So, you need to make up your mind. When it comes to ministry, let me tell you something. Don't leave it to chance. I could have left my ministry to chance. I could have left my ministry to circumstances. I could have left my ministry to, you know, happenings, or what I call them, circumstantial happenings. I could have just got up one day and said, you know what, let's have it, let's just go the smooth way. Let's have it more smoother. When it was time for me to get into full-time ministry, I knew this was the time. If you don't get into it right now, you can't get into it again. You can't do it the way you are supposed to do it again. Even if whatever you are saying that, oh, you are too young and you are too... What's the essence of getting to hear that you are too young and you are too this? There's a time frame. You need to get to it. Once you don't get to it, it becomes very difficult to get into it. It's true. Yes. So, there are times of your life. Don't leave it to God. Let me tell you something. Don't leave it to God. God is expecting you to make a decision and he backs you. You know, the whole heaven and its entourage backed a man that is full of faith and confident in the word of God on his lips. That's how the power of faith produces results. So you normally would not find weaklings full of faith because they want everything to be clear. They want everything to be smooth. They want everything to make sense. But it doesn't work like that. You don't follow God making a lot of sense. It does not make sense. So this year, listen, God has told us already, we are going to have more and we're having more. It's not left to God. It's not left to us to get up and say, Lord, let your will be done. If it is your will, let more happen. If it is your will, Lord, let it be done. Oh, let it be done. Oh, more. If it's your will. God wills already. In fact, he's been willing before we started that we have more. He wills already. But there's a time when we key in into what he wills for us, and that brings in the possibilities. Or that brings in the inputs or the answers. That brings in the answers we're looking for. So you need to make a decision. It starts with making a decision. And you'll be amazed. His grace backs that strongly. But where there's no decision made, there's nothing that his grace can back. So, you're going to have more this year by learning to overcome some distractions. Tonight I'll be exposing distractions. Yes. Some of you don't know that. What is just ahead of you is just a distraction for you to do anything that you have decided to do for God. That's all. That's all it is. A distraction. So we're going to do more by learning to overcome distractions. Joshua chapter 10, verse 10, and then 17. To 22. Joshua chapter 10, verses 10, and then 17 to 22. Okay, could we pause in on the comments? Thank you all. And then the like, so we can have the scripture very static. Okay, thank you. The Lord threw them into a panic, and the Israelites slaughtered great numbers of them at Gibeon. Then the Israelites chased the army along the road to Beth Horon, killing them all along the way to Azekah and Makeda. When Joshua heard that they had been found, he issued a command, or he issued his command, cover the opening of the cave with large rocks and place guards at the entrance to keep the kings inside. So, this is a battle. They had had an upper hand. They were destroying the enemies, the armies of the enemies. But Joshua is saying that, no, there are kings of these people that are being destroyed. Put them into a cave. Cover the opening of the cave with large rocks. Place guards at the entrance to keep the kings inside. The rest of you, continue chasing the enemy and cut them down from the rear. Don't give them a chance to get back to their towns, for the Lord your God has given you victory over them. I'll tell you a strategy that Joshua is using in this place. He is avoiding distractions of killing kings at the same time while killing the armies of these people. So he's saying that no, we cannot focus on these people. Let's have their kings covered somewhere. And then now let's kill the people. When we are done killing with the people, we can now focus our attention on the kings. Verse 20. So Joshua and the Israelite army continued the slaughter and completely crushed the enemy. They totally wiped out the five armies except for a tiny remnant that managed to reach their fortified towns. So what is he doing? He's caught the kings in hostage of these people who happened to be five kings of other people that they were being slayed. He put those kings into caves, focused on the armies, slaughtered them completely, crushed the enemy completely, totally wiped out the five enemies completely, except for a tiny remnant that managed to reach their fortified towns. Then the Israelites returned safely to Joshua in the camp at Makeda. After that, no one dared to speak even a word against Israel. Then Joshua said, "Remove the rocks covering the opening of the cave and bring the five kings to me. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. After we have finished destroying their armies, let's now kill these ones honorably. Bring them to me. We don't want any situation where maybe we leave the kings loose and open. They give some commands that destroy us at a point in time. Because the kings are also smart at giving commands. In fact, many kings were very strategic in battles. So capture those people. Put them in the caves. Roll over them in the caves. Make sure there are bodyguards there. We are totally slaying everybody till we get to the finish line. Except a few remnants who managed to escape. In this year or more, you need to be focused. And you begin to identify things that are distractions. You must begin to see. So these five kings were captured. King Adonizedek, King Piram, King Japhia, King Debir, all of these people had been captured. He kept these five kings in a cave until he finished the real business of destroying the enemies of the army. It was only after Joshua had eliminated the real enemies that he turned his attentions to the king and other powerful men. People of God, what is distracting you from your real goal of achieving and seeing more and experiencing more and doing more and having more of your business and having more of everything that God has laid on your heart to do? What is distracting you from your goal? What is distracting you? What is distracting you from your goal? What is diverting your attention away from the task that the Lord has committed to your hands and what you have to do? That's why me, I hardly even celebrate what anniversaries, ministry is 1 year, ministry is 2. I don't see a need. When you see the work that you have to even do, you are celebrating. What are you celebrating? And honestly, it's because of people I'm starting to understand some of this. But if you know me very well, even when I was in Central University, I don't go for people's birthdays. I don't go for people's what. I don't go for those. All of those things, I don't go. All through my life in school, I never went for whatever, dinner, what. I never went. I felt it's a total waste of time. I'm not saying that if you went, you have a problem. I'm not saying that if you like those things. I'm saying that sometimes being everywhere is a sign that you don't have anything to do. You don't have anything to do. You don't have an aim. It's like you don't have an aim. Celebrate Christmas, celebrate Easter, celebrate elections, celebrate a funeral, celebrate wedding, celebrate anniversary, celebrate 1 year anniversary, celebrate 1 year 6 months anniversary, celebrate 1 year five. Don't you have something to do apart from celebrations? Say, Pastor Erika is telling us that we should. No, that's not. I'm saying that when you are very excessive on celebrations, it's like you don't have anything to do. People have made me tell you another thing. I never went for any of those social events. Never did. You can ask anybody. I remember one time they were having something at the food court also. I think it was a pharmacy something. That was the only time I remember. I was passing by that I was working with a friend. And we just passed through the food court. And I was like, oh, okay, this was happening. I just went back to my house. You just tell me which social event. You can ask my, some of my mates are here. I don't know if they also used to go, but you can ask anybody whether you saw me at any social event. I was very difficult to see. Very difficult to see. I'm not going to lie to you. Even today, I can tell you how many weddings I've attended. Yes. I don't like to say it, but it's true. Yes. Maybe just two or so. And those ones, they meant something very, very important to me. So when you are everywhere and it's like you are everywhere you are jumping from one place to the other. You are here, you are there, you are this, you are that, you are moving here, you are you are distracted. It shows a distraction. It shows a certain kind of a distraction. Everybody's wedding, you dance under. You remove your shoe and remove your wig. It shows that you don't have anything to do. In fact, most celebrations, they are distractions from the real job you have to do. Whenever my birthday is coming, I say, because a celebration is a distraction. Yes. Imagine Joshua. He should have started celebrating. You, five armies are down. Five armies are down. You, we have five armies down. Five armies are down. They are down. Said no, maintain the aim of destroying the enemies completely. In this year of more, you're going to know how to use your time. You are a minister of God. You're God's minister. There's that glory He's placed on you. There's that mark on you. He's put it on you. That's why you can't handle yourself anyhow, because there's a mark on you. There's a mark on you. So Joshua says, no, Finish the armies before we finish the kings. Finish those ones. Those ones are larger numbers to finish. So this year of more, you're going to realize a distraction. Once you realize it, you push it away. Are you listening? You've read it. I sometimes am amazed that some people are not able to recognize distractions. Yes. Buy t-shirts, buy chairs, buy special clothes, organize music, put fireworks, buy flowers, special drinks, cake, souvenirs. See the bride, they are walking on water, they are moving down the aisle. You'll be surprised that they don't have a house to stay in. They don't have a land. Their wedding is more than a house. When I say this, some people don't like me. I know they don't like me. Pastor, if you allow us, the wedding day is the best day of our lives. The wedding day is the best day of our lives. We have waited for this day for so long. All our whole lives, all our lives is going to be the day where God will glorify us. God would. When I talk like that, I know people, the ladies, some of them say, Pastor wants to touch our wedding too. He has taken everything from us. He has made us to pray. He has made us to fast. He has made us to do this. Our wedding day too, that we also want to do this. He also says we should do that. I'm saying that, do you have a land? Do you have a house? Do you have water splashing at your wedding? You are paying over. Don't you see that you are going? Okay, let me forward. I'll talk about that one in the next 3 weeks. So people are spending a lot of money on things. See, someone went take a loan, buy money splash gun. You don't have money. You're going to buy money splash gun. You put the money that you have produced, the money, but you are going to owe somebody. See that after the event, that's when you see that calls are coming. Cameraman is calling, videographer is calling. It's left with 4,005. It's left with 6,000. Oh, at 2002, you didn't pay. Now see trouble. What has God called you to do? What has He called you to do? Has He called you to kill the enemies? Kill them completely. So this year of more, you are going to know what are you going to be noticeable for? See. You can ask right from my SS mates. They have all known me as a man of God. Yeah. Except that I used to teach some choirs. Yes, I used to teach Archbishop. I used to teach St. Mary's Boys. Yes. I was a teacher of music. Yes, I used to teach them. So to an extent, some people, if you call my name, they'll say, oh, that man who used to, or that boy that used to teach in the, that's the, but if you ask my school colleagues, the people that really, really know me, they knew me as a man of God. Right, anybody, ask anybody. That's what I'm known for. I came to university, that's what I've been known for. And he was like, you don't know what you want. You want to be here. You want to be there. It's like you are serving God. You are not serving God. You want to give up. You are not giving up. You want to just get into the world. You are not getting into the world. You want to. It's like you want to live half. No, you need to be able to know what you want to do. Then you can eliminate the distractions when they come. You should be able to remove them. Yes, remove the distractions when they come. Some of you, you can't see that that boyfriend is a distraction. That girlfriend is a distraction. You can't see it. You can't see. You can't see. The long night calls you've been having. The texts, it's like you are in love. You are fantasizing sexual scenes. Yes. Fantasizing sexual scenes. That's what you fantasize. You don't see that fantasy is the distractions. You should be able to tell, it's not like this. I have to be careful about this. That's a distraction. That's a distraction. That's a distraction. And me, all my life, even my parents who gave birth to me, they could not distract me. Nobody will distract me. And nobody will distract me, Jesus. That's why I keep telling people around me that everybody here around is a privilege that we are all here. You can ask my mother, she'll tell you. I told her point blank, mommy, please. Please, mommy, please. I beg you. Let me just focus on what I'm doing. Yes. So if I've been able to eliminate something very important like that, it's not because you are not. No. So you have to realize what distractions are. Some distractions will come technologically. I'm telling you how we can have more. The more we are saying now is a season for more. I'm telling you how that we can have more. Social media, smartphones, notifications, web browsings, what? TikTok. Yeah. I would have left, I would have left WhatsApp and Facebook. Or let me say WhatsApp, because of you people. That's why I'm still actually using an iPhone and I'm using I would have been long gone. I would have been long gone. On Instagram, Snap, what? All the things, you are there. You are videoing every time. When would you have a focus? So there are technological distractions. I'm telling you that we can have more by learning to eliminate and overcome things that are distractions to us. That's how we're going to do well. That's how we're going to do well. People of God, that's how we're going to do well. Social media. Always on your phone. So they can come as technological distractions. You can't put your phone down. And put your phone down and pray. Another distraction are people. They come in the form of people. Conversations, phone calls, relationships, someone asking for your attention. All over the place. Time for prayer. You talk to the person until it's something, 40-something. Then you now hang up. Then you now join in for prayer. Isn't that person your God? I'm asking you. See that conversations, gist. This one, it doesn't work on everybody 100%. Yeah? But if you can learn to be very focused and not have I love you, it's like you are jittery, I love you, I can't sleep without you, I can't, you go really far. Yes. Like your head is straight, your head is clear.
I love you, I love you, I can't do without you, I can't even pray without you, I can't fast without you. It's the person Jesus. The person is Jesus. Can't do it without the person. In the presence of Jesus, you can't pray without the person. It means that the person is your Jesus now. Me, honestly, when I hear people say love, love, in a certain sense, I think it's not true. I know it's true, but I sometimes believe that it's not. Because when you pay attention to God's word, and you pay attention to what God's word, it helps you to see what you have to see rightly. It's like you can see clearly that this is what I should choose. This is where I should go. This is how I should do it. This is what I should do. This is how I should do it. Yeah. And love. Distractions. Some jobs can be distractions. Also, they completely take you away. You have no mind. You have to be able to recognize. Yes, you have to be able to recognize. Hey, me, I use the elimination principle. Anything that is a distraction, I just put it away. I know how to do that. Because I don't want anything to stand between my God and myself. I don't want anything standing in between us. God has called you to preach. He has given you a grace to sing. He has given you this to flow. He has given you, what are you doing with it? So you need to work hard now. Be careful. For some of us, it's trying to do many things at once. And that leads to divided attention. And Joshua never practiced that principle because he wanted to overcome something. You need to be able to stick to it and keep at it and continue at it. Yes. The years ahead is what will tell whether, you know, what I'm teaching you is really true or not. Because the pressures will mount. See that? The pressures will mount. And when it mounts, and you say, no. That's when you know that, okay, what you have saved in your heart is now true. It's a reality. So you're going to learn to deal with distraction. When you're on campus, you don't know distraction. The distractions are few. Maybe it's just your phone. Maybe school fees that you need to pay, that's like it's delaying a bit and all. When you step outside, then you now say, wow, these are distractions. And then you now have to be determined to flow through all those distractions. Can't do too many things at once. You will have to learn to narrow them down. Then you focus in your attention on those things. From this teaching, you are going to have more by overcoming things that are distractions in your life. Things that seek to take you away from what God has called you to do. I can tell you also for free, sometimes worry, anxiety is a distraction. Yes. It slows your pace. Is a distraction. It slows you down from doing what you're supposed to do. Yes. So when you realize that there's something trying to crop in, you say, no. I know this is something that wants to confuse me and that wants to take me off what I'm supposed to do. Some of you need to focus on your academics as well. As you go back to school, eliminate all the distractions. You can ask anybody. Me, I never joined two departments. Any department you saw me in that I was just there to maybe pass by. I had only one department. I was part of prayer department. My alliance too was just to one department. You will not find me missions. You will not find me what. You will find me what. I just one. One is enough. And I focus all my one on that one. Always, almost every time I was there for dumb prayers. Yes. I missed a few times. But I was there majority, I was always there. Majority, I was there, than I was not there. Yes. Well over 85 times, 85% to 90 times, I was there. Yes. One department. When I came, I joined one. It was an a cappella something. I loved a cappella music. So I joined one. When I got to realize that it will not pick. So I said no prayer. I directed all my focus on it. Yes, but he's saying all for Jay. Yeah, I was when I came level 100, I loved a cappella music. I was in all for Jay. I was in all for G. I saw that no, I have to focus it very well. Prayer. I was in prayer. I tried to help the protocol team once in my whole life on campus. I never went again. Because that day after I pulled the chairs, I never tried that thing again. I saw that it was not for boys, it was for men. Huh? Pulled the chest, man. I said, no, this one did. It's a grace. That's when I started respecting them. I started, like, in my mind, I felt like these people were gods. So anytime I saw them, I felt like I'd seen a god. Yes. See them pulling the chest, moving this, doing this, doing that. Hey, I said, let me just humbly, in humility, go and help pull the chest. I said, hey. My whole hands were hurt. I said, no, this one did. If I do it, I'll not, it will not help me. So I just stopped immediately. And I continually prayed for them, that God should help them. Yes. So you must learn to narrow. Now, I'm not saying two departments are bad. But you must learn to make sure that those two departments, one is not a distraction to the other. You see, one is not a distraction to the other. Huh. So that you can flow very well in all of them. Great. So this year, we're going to have more. I'm teaching you the strategies for having more. So you're going to have more by overcoming distractions. Sometimes it could just be lust. And that's what you need to deal with. But you are full of lust, but you are going to get a girlfriend. Yeah? Why don't you deal with it? Or you don't see it when you are playing with fire. You don't see when you are playing with fire. When you see fire around, you don't see fire. So you're going to be careful of confusion. You know, confusion is like a state of disorder where there's a lack of clearness and distinctness. When something happens on your left, when something happens on your right, you are wondering which way to turn. No, you have to know, where am I going? And it's one of the biggest traps the enemy traps many people with, from pursuing their God-given tasks, that they place confusion there. Yeah. Many times, when I remember something, I go back, because that's how I know that God is speaking to me. When something happens now, yes, I go back. Is that what God said to me? Back. If that was not what God said, it's not it. It's a confusion. So while you're confused from many distractions, then your opportunity to serve God, it will silently slip away. Remember, Joshua did not turn aside from killing the enemies because of the news of the capture of the five kings. No, if he had turned aside to celebrate the capture of the five kings, it would have allowed the enemy to escape. So these enemies would have to be killed totally. So in this year, you're going to look into your life. What is it that is distracting you from fulfilling that goal, that call, from being focused? In the work of ministry, what is it that is stopping you? Sometimes also slothfulness, you are just lazy. Some of you should be going ahead and doing discipleships and doing them, visiting the people and talking to them and capturing them and praying for them and laying hands on them and speaking to them, talking to them, encouraging them. You are just there. You are saying, glory, 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 glory. More, more, more. How would the more come? Where is the more coming from? Where is it coming from? Tell me. Where is it coming from? Two text messages has confused you. Just text, I love you, with love emojis, blue, violet, indigo. You are already confused. You are confused. How would you get more? You sleep 49 hours. More glory. More. Where is it coming from? Pastor, I want to lay my hands on the sick and see them healed. Glory, glory, glory. How many hands have you laid? How many sick people have you looked for to lay? Pastor, please, I really admire the gift of seeing and knowing. I want to be really efficient in it. How many people have you called to say, let me prophesy to you, let me see and know with you? This year, don't entertain any distractions that come your way. When you realize a distraction, you must see that distraction. You know, if Solomon was able to realize, do you know that Solomon's major distraction was women? He just realized it. He should have realized, if he realized it, he would have served God perfectly to the very end. So distractions, sometimes they are just the things you need to realize. Oh, this thing. Laziness. You can't pray. Always on your phone. You're anxious. Every time you are bothered. Every time you are angry. Every time, you can't see that is a distraction to you. Distraction to the work. Can't you see? I mean, one of the things I'm good at doing, I can ignore things. I can just look at it and say, okay, let's play on. Yeah. Because I'll not allow it to become a distraction to me. So let's all play on. Play on. Yeah. Sometimes departures and leaves can be distractions to anybody. So let's play on. Everybody play. So you're going to realize. And when you realize it, don't deal with it very cautiously. Get it out immediately. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you this evening for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that we're having more by learning to overcome distractions in our lives, in our ministries, in what God has called us to do. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your spirit.
that we also are greatly reliant on to help us identify, realize, set aside, eliminate these distractions in our lives. Let me tell you something. Pornography is a distraction. Is a very major distraction. And I'm telling you, if you take what I'm saying to heart, it will be the last time that you will give yourself to that. Because you would identify that. It's not now like, I'm trying to stop, I can't stop. No, you identify it. Then, by the grace of God, you eliminate it. Yeah. You identify it. Then you eliminate it. There's some things when I even see them, I get angry. I can't yield to some of those things. By the grace of God. But when I say, I maybe a pop-up, also, I just know it can't be. We are praying for people like this, and then it's just a distraction, that's all. So when you realize that God has something very special for you to do, and God has something very special in your life to accomplish, those things will not stay, because you will catch them, and like Joshua, you will say to yourself, we are finishing these enemies before we consider any other matter. We are finishing it before we consider any other matter. Let's not overhype certain things. They actually become lords and gods over us before, because we exalt them in our hearts. They are nothing. You can choose to walk away from it today and never turn back at it again. You can choose today. But you will probably say that, no, let me keep it forever. But you, from today, you can say, no, I've realized this thing is, I shouldn't do it. Because it gives the enemy inroad into my mind. He's not supposed to, but you see that he'll be using that to get you, throw things at you. So you don't want to give him inroads in. So you don't open yourself to some of these things. Don't open yourself to some of these things. So you're going to be strong. You're going to realize distractions. Don't realize distractions. Don't realize distractions. And once you realize it, don't deal with it very messily, just humbly, softly, kindly. You eliminate it immediately. Eliminate it immediately. The Lord is your help. The Lord is my help. The Lord is our help altogether in Jesus' name. Amen. So our time is up. We'll meet same time today. I love you all.